I want to talk to you guys a little bit about something that kind of goes on in my life. I tend to forget a lot, okay? My wife can confirm that, all right? She tells me all the time, put a reminder in your phone. Put a reminder in your phone so you don't forget to do this, all right? That you don't forget to do, and sometimes it's the stupid things, right? Sometimes it's the things that we always do and yet never really want to, right? So it tends to get forgotten along the way, right? Hang on a second. Sometimes I forget to silence my phone too. I'm just gonna put that away. I don't need that anymore. Anyway, if any of you need to do that, please, now's a good time. Otherwise, today's a good message for you. Anyway, so I want to talk to you guys about memories, about being able to remember. Remember when is my topic today. Remember the things that God's done for you, all right? And this story of Elijah is all about remembering who God is. I love this man because he has such a passion, such a fire, and the guy isn't afraid to talk some trash too, okay? I feel like every once in a while I need to be able to have a little bit of trash talking in my life and go, okay, maybe that was godly trash talking. Anyway, so I got an amen on that one, yes. Amen to trash talk. But God gives us a bunch of different ways to remember who he is, all right? One of those ways, right here, is his word, all right? This helps us to remember who God is. Helps us to remember his love for us. All right? A lot of times, I know early on as a Christian, I looked at that as one big burden because I was like, I can't get through all that. And then I realized, if I want to get to know God more, if I want to get to hear his voice, if I want to hear him speak to me, if I want to remember who God has called me to be, I got to get into that. I can't just let it be a fantastic book that sits on my shelf. All right? God gives us other ways to remember. He helps us to remember by answering prayers. And we can look back on our life and see the different ways that God has answered prayer. When craziness, when chaos came at us, when we thought that there was no way that we were going to get through what was happening right here, right now, when the enemy blindsided us, or even just man blindsided us, the Lord wasn't blindsided. He knew. And so we can pray. And we can see afterwards. We look back. Think about this. If you think about the different prayers that have been answered in your life, when everything is hitting you, and you look back and you go, Lord, you got me through that. And you got me through that. And you got me through that. This is big. But you're going to get me through this too. Because you've been faithful in the past, you're faithful now, and you will continue to be faithful in the future because that is the God that we serve. Right. Not because he needs to be faithful to us by any means, but because he loves us. Amen. So we call on him in prayer. Amen. All right, another way to be able to remember is we have people that God places in our lives. Amen. Mothers and fathers in the faith, sisters and brothers in the faith. I have one person that came here today to see me. Mama Donna, can you do me a favor? I know this is going to bug the heck out of you, but can you do me a favor? Can you stand up? Okay. This is Donna Langer. Everybody say, hi, Donna. Hi, Donna. That's Mama Donna. Mama Donna has been helping out with me in youth ministry for years. Amen. Mama Donna has been, when people were looking at Donna and going, are you sure you want to help out with youth? She was like, yeah, I want to help out with youth. Mama Donna came up to me. At one point, I stepped away from youth ministry, stepped away from ministry for a little bit. I came back and started doing youth ministry again, and I was like, I'm back. And Donna goes, how can I help? Immediately. God places people in our lives as almost walking pillars, walking reminders of his love and his faithfulness. People that speak into our lives. People that draw us close. And when we see those people, our heart just immediately jumps, right? Because that's the God that we serve. God also gives us places that we can go to as reminders, where you can be driving by someplace and say, I remember when I was right there and God moved. I remember when I was in desperate situation, and I got down and I prayed, and God did something in that place. I remember when I was just walking through the mall, and God spoke to me right here in this place, because God can move in the mall. God can move any place, right? I'll talk about one of those places for me coming up, all right? But today's really just about remembering who God is. In the trials, in the tribulations, in the worries, and in the, not even just that, in the joy. When you're helping others, when they're going through their rough parts, you're able to say, hey, I remember when God did this. And God will do it with you too. And it's going to be good. So I want to, can you do me a favor? I'm going to ask Trinity, can you come on up? Trinity is going to come up, and actually she's going to be our reader today. Can I ask everybody to do me a favor and stand up at this time out of respect for God's word? And we're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 8 through 14.
Good morning, church. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Then he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord, God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, turned down the altars and your prophets to death, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain of the in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not there in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, and the Lord was not there in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not there in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he put his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, turned down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too.
Trinity, thank you very much. I appreciate it. By the way, I'm sneaking this one. You can go ahead and sit down. By the way, I'm sneaking this one in. Trinity and a few other people here in this church show up every Sunday morning, and they pray. They pray for us. They pray for the pastors. They pray for you as a congregation. They pray that God would move in your lives. If you would like to help be a part of that group that shows up and just prays and just ask God to move, ask the Holy Spirit to move on behalf of our church, go see that girl right there. She's going to be outside over at the ministry table at the end of service, okay? Fantastic, fantastic ministry. So we look at Elijah, right? He's there. He's done this long journey to go over to Mount Hor. But I want to look back a little bit. I want to kind of kick back a little bit and look at what got him to that point, right? So we're going to summarize what happened to get him to that point in his life and in his faith, all right? So before all this goes down, there's this huge event that happens on this place called Mount Carmel. And you can say Carmel, Carmel, whatever, I don't know, whatever, all right? It's like going to Carmel. Do you go to Carmel or do you go to Carmel or Carmel or whatever? I don't know. It's down by Monterey. It's all I know. So while he's there, he goes over and the whole point of this battle that's going down, there's no fighting or anything involved, but it's basically like we talk about, like, you know, you can see like people do like dance offs or something like that. It's like a dot off, right? Like who's God? All right. Yeah. Right. So we have the king of Israel, the current king of Israel at that time, is this guy named Ahab. And Ahab is getting all the people of Israel to stop following God and start worshiping this dude Baal that we talked about when we were going through the book of Judges. Baal was all about, you know, worshiping this God was about having fertile lands and having so much and having this great abundance. With all of this going on, with all of this Baal worship going on, it hadn't rained in 3.5 years. And so Elijah shows up, he says, we're gonna find out whose God is really God. And God shows up in a fantastic way. Where all the people of Israel, see him move. Amen. And they turn away from following Baal and they start following God. Hallelujah. God has moved in a mighty way. An entire nation has given their lives back to the Lord. Hallelujah. And then what happens? Elijah gets word from Ahab's wife, Jezebel. And she says, if you make it to the end of the day, well, that's not happening. You are going to die. I'm going to have you killed. And so Elijah, who's just done this fantastic, has been part of, I'm not going to say did it, but has been like part of seeing God move and standing in the gap for Israel and seeing so many people come to know the Lord, stands up in victory and goes, oh, she threatened my life? And he takes off. He gets freaked out. He runs away. Can I be honest? Sometimes I see victories in God. Sometimes I see God do fantastic things. And I come down off that mountain. And then life hits. And I forget. That's not what I'm called to do. I'm called to remember. I'm supposed to be remembering who God is. So I can't badmouth the guy for that, right? Because we all have those moments, right? So as he runs away, he turns around. He's just done. He's been running and running and running, and he's done. And he comes to this thing. It's called a broom tree. It's like this little overgrown bush with like maybe a couple leaves here and there. And he sees it. He's in the middle of the desert, and so what's he do? Just try to get out of the shade. So he goes and just lays down there and takes a nap. And an angel shows up. When this angel shows up, it's great because this angel shows up, cooks him a meal, right? Cooks him up some bread, gives him some water. He says he eats, and then he goes back to sleep. Well, God wakes him up again and says, no, 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 you need to finish your meal. Now, what that tells me is this. This is not a super spiritual thing, but never underestimate the power of a good nap and a good meal, okay? Because you'd be having the worst day ever, and everything's going downhill. You go take a nap, you're like, yay, everything's good again, right? Well, I'm going to go have a meal. I'm no longer hangry, all right? I can do this. I don't know what was in the bread. I don't know what was in the water. But it said it gave him the strength to be able to go out on a journey that God had for him. And this journey would last 40 days. And God sends him to Mount Oreb, right? And that's where we picked up. My first fill-in is this. Remember where God moved. It's like I talked about. We have spots, we have places where God has moved in our lives. Sometimes we need to go revisit those spots, right? Sometimes we need to just go back and remember what he's done there. All right? So I want to take a quick look at verse 8. It says this. It says, so he got up, ate, and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Mount Oreb, the mountain of God. So Mount Oreb is also known by a different name. Mount Sinai, same place, all right? You have one peak here, this is Mount Sinai. You got another peak here, it's Mount Oreb. They're all part of the same mountain chain, but they're right next to each other. Mount Sinai was the same place that Moses got to go talk with God, got to go experience God. Amen. And Elijah's on his way to go visit that. And on his way, as he's getting close to the end of his journey, he starts to see some things. Can you be a favor? Can you put up that slide? See that right there? That rock might not look like much. That's a 50-foot tall rock. If you look at that rock, it doesn't fit in with the rest of the desert. Because that rock looks like it's got water wear on it. That's the rock that they believe is the rock that Moses goes and strikes. And as the people of Israel are dying of thirst, Moses strikes it, and water begins to pour out from the bottom. That rock is actually on a hillside that's about 100 feet tall, and it fills into this giant valley. Elijah got to see part of his faith, part of what he believed, what he knew for years. You see another picture? As he gets closer, he sees this mountain. And that mountain right there might look like it's got like a cloud over the top of it. There's no clouds. It's a desert, man. There's hardly any clouds ever. It rains a few times a year. All that rock, that's burnt rock. That's not volcano burnt rock. That's burnt from the outside. Like maybe some fire that fell from the Lord when Moses went up on the mountain and he said, I'm going to separate you from the Israelites and we're going to make sure that they can't get any closer. We're just going to spend 40 days up here with you and then I'm going to send you back down. Elijah's seen his faith. Let's go to the next one real fast. As he's getting ready to walk up that mountain, he sees some rocks down at the bottom. There's some hieroglyphs on it. Those hieroglyphs have these pictures of cows telling this deliverance story. You guys remember anything about a golden calf? As he passes by that rock, he sees it's all shattered to pieces, which is what God did. He sees his faith. The faith that he believed in that was strong and got him through that battle on Mount Carmel. And that diminished when Jezebel came along and threatened his life. He's walking by his faith. He had reminders along the way. All right? Next villain is this. Elijah was passing by the history of his faith. For me, I have places. I have places in my life that I can go to. One of my favorite places to go to, I like to take a nice little drive. I used to do this all the time. I used to take a nice little drive from the Bay Area out to Half Moon Bay. And while many people would tell me that you're crazy for taking a little drive from the East Bay out to Half Moon Bay because that drive could take 45 minutes or 4 or 5 hours, there was time with Jesus. And it wasn't about the drive as much as it was about the destination of getting there. And just putting my problems before the Lord, talking with God. Another one of those places is actually, when we came here, we found out that this was amazing because we used to take our students up to this camp called Old Oak Ranch up in Sonora. And when we came here, guess where we started going to summer camp? Up at Old Oak Ranch in Sonora. It just happened to be where our district was taking us to. There's places up there where I've been able to pray over students and see their call begin. There's places up there where people have come and prayed over me and confirm callings in my life. We all have those places in our lives. When you're feeling down, when you're feeling like you can't anymore, sometimes take a little drive. Get to those places. Get to those reminders of what God did in your life. You don't even need to, you could show up over there and be down and out and just go, you know what? I know God moved. I know he's real. Because of what happened in this place. Amen. Hold on to those places and remember where God moved. Point number two is this. Remember that God listens. All right? Remember that God listens. Verses 9 and 10 say this. It says, There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? I'm going to tell you how I hear it in my mind. He replied, I've been very zealous for you, for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, tore down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword, and I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. I hear him complaining a little bit. I hear him frustrated. Because I'll be honest with you, a guy's going on a 40-day journey. We don't know if he's been eating consistently since then. But we saw what happened before when he was a little bit hangry and tired, right? He's angry. He's frustrated. But you know what? He's venting to God. He's venting to God. Let me ask you something. God asks him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Do you think God knew what Elijah was doing there? Three people do. Nice. Okay, well, I hope the rest of us do. God was the one that told him to go there. God told him to go there. The first thing he says, what are you doing here? You told me to, right? Yes, he totally knew what he was doing there, all right? God knows everything. God totally does. See, it's like this, though. It's like with prayer, right? You can ask the question, do we need to pray? My answer is yes, okay? Because we get to be part of what God's doing when we do. God, yes, God knows our thoughts. Yes, God knows everything that's going on in our lives. He knows all that. But even though he knows it, sometimes it's good for us just to talk about it, right? Sometimes we just need to be able to have that session where it's like, hey, I need this. I need you to move. This is impossible. And the cool part about it is that when we do that, we actually get to be a partner with God in seeing what he's doing. So that after he moves, we can be like, yes! Like our prayer requests, like our praise reports. We get excited when we see prayer requests and praise reports. Prayer requests are rough. Let's be real. Because we see that people are in need, that people are struggling. And our heart is to want to see something happen. But as a pastor, the only thing I could do sometimes and the best thing I could do is just pray. And as a person who loves Jesus, that's the truth with each and every one of us as well, is to ask God, is to come alongside those that are struggling and say, God, we need you to move. And then when he moves, what do? We celebrate. Amen. We get excited because of who God is. Not because of what we did. We did nothing. We sat there, we said, please. And he was like, yeah, I got this. Right? That's awesome. That's the God that we serve. But that doesn't happen unless we pray. Right? So as Elijah is sitting there venting before God, he gets to a point to where he's just letting it all out. Can I be honest with you? I've done that. I've done it. I've sat there and like in a dark room or sometimes on the freeway with my windows down. People look at me like I'm crazy. Anyway, along the way, things have come along. So anyway, there's times though when I've sat there and I've been like, God, I can't take this anymore. I can't. I need your help. I really need your help because there's no way I'm going to be able to get through this. There's no way that I can see a way out of this. And he's like, I got you. I got you. I'm here with you. I'm here with you. Don't stress out about it. Sometimes I can get to the point to where I'm yelling at God. And I'm grateful that when I read that story, that God didn't sit there and go, oh, you want to yell at me, huh? Who's God now? Because he's a loving God. I'm like, oh, thank you. Thank you. Sometimes there's like, you know, you have like those people that are just like, they just need to let it all out and let it all out and let it all out. And at the end of it, they're like, okay, I'm good. That was this dude. That was Elijah. He had to let it all out and let it all out and let it all out. But there was a key point to it. There was a key point to it is that he didn't just vent and walk away. He vented and then he listened. Right? And that leads to the next spot, all right? Elijah, even though he felt alone, and we've all felt alone, he felt alone, he sat there, he said, I'm the only one left doing what you've asked to do. How many of you guys have felt that? At your families, friends, work, in life, we've all felt that. We've all felt that. But you're not. So that's the good news that God gives Elijah at the end, is that you're not alone. You never were alone. That's right. Remember. That's right. Remember. Hallelujah. Okay? So my next point is this. Remember to listen. Remember to listen. So Elijah talks, and he lets it all out. And then he takes the time to hear what God has to say. Let's look in verses 11 through 13. It says this. It says, then the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. All right? I don't think God had a little bit of that uppity tone like I just had right now, but anyway, every once in a while God talks to me with a little bit of a tone. Anyway, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the mountains. And shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Hear this. God could have answered by tearing Elijah apart, right? He could have. In fact, the way that I read that now is a lot different than the way I used to read it. The way I read it now is Elijah is angry. He's frustrated, and he's letting God have it. And God goes, oh, you want to see what it's like? And so God answers with rage, with power, with all of this different stuff to start. But it says that God wasn't in that. Okay? One of the things Pastor Brent said last week when we were talking about the fall was that how God creates and the devil destroys, right? When we're looking for, when I was first trying to learn to hear God speak to me, I'll tell you some fun stories. I was like, God, I want to hear you speak to me. God, I want to hear your voice. I want to get used to hearing your voice. And I'm thinking God's going to be like, Michael, my son, whom I love greatly, go thee henceforth and do this. And I'm like, oh, and that's what I'm expecting, right? That's what I'm expecting. That it's going to be so clear and so powerful that God just needs to like yell. That it needs to be like this epic movies and stuff. That's what I was expecting. And while God could answer like that, he chose not to, right? See, God can show off. God can do all of that big stuff. Amen. But he doesn't need to. He's God. He's our Lord. And can I be honest with you? When I have those people in my life that are always yelling and always shouting, sometimes it kind of makes it hard to hear them after a while, right? Because even though they're loud, I might not hear it as well. Because I'm kind of the process of tuning them out a little bit, right? I think that's part of why God responded in that gentle whisper. Because while God could show off, and he could do that on a regular basis, he doesn't need to. Amen. And in fact, when there's a gentle whisper, when there's a quiet conversation happening between people, it's no longer a lecture. It's no longer a demand. It's a conversation. And if you want to have a relationship with God, which we can now because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, amen, I'd rather that he spoke softly to me because that means I can speak back to him. I don't need to get this huge, awe-inspired response from God. Yeah, it's great to be able to get those from time to time. Yes, it's like sometimes I just need it really clear. Can you send someone with a big staff to be able to throw down on the ground and turn into a snake and then tell me what to do? But that's not how it works most of the time, all right? So back to Elijah. Elijah did go on this amazing 40-day journey. You don't have to go on a 40-day journey to spend time with God. He did have an angel appear to him. It doesn't take an angel appearing to you in order to be able to hear God. Just takes having an open ear and the ability to say, Lord, I need to hear you. Amen. I have no other choice. That's right. And God will show up. Hallelujah. In that gentle whisper and give us that guidance, give us that direction, amen, give us that way, yes, because of his love. So my last point is this, all right? Remember that you're not alone, okay? We've looked at the different things that we need to remember along the way in our life and in our relationship with the Lord, right? And can I do a quick little footnote? If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, that's okay, because I guarantee you, when you do, you're going to be able to look back along the way and say, oh, God was helping me out here and here and here, and he was guiding me with this person in my life and that person in my life. On the other end of it, if you're praying for someone that hasn't accepted Jesus Christ into their life, know that one day they will look back and they will see the seeds that you laid along the way that will help them to come to know the Lord. So don't give up. Okay? So, remember you're not alone. Verse 14. This is Elijah responding. I'm going to give you the way that I hear Elijah talking now. You heard the way I heard Elijah talking the first time? God shows up. Boom, bang, pow, craziness. And then God shows up in a whisper. And when God whispers to Elijah, this is the way I hear Elijah responding back. He replied, I've been very zealous for you, for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. He goes from having this rage, just having a conversation with God. When he has that conversation with God, God responds. I want to put something in you guys' in your court. I want to go back and I want to ask you guys, either lunch today or connect groups tonight or just on your own, finish off those last four verses, verses 15 through 18. Look at that. Because that's all about remembering that you're not alone and God assuring Elijah that he's not alone. Last villain is this. Don't be afraid to have a conversation with God. You might find out that you're not alone, and even better, that God has a plan that you never knew about. He's God. He knows what we're doing with our life. Amen. Even before we get there. Right. He's got better directions than we could ever imagine. Sometimes we think we got some good answers too. God's like, psh. That's nothing. Here, let me give you a little hint here. And you're like, oh, that's awesome. That's genius. Amen. Right? Sometimes it's the simple things. There's times when I've been praying and praying and praying for like a month and a half over something. And I'm like, God, I need an answer. God, I absolutely need an answer. I'm getting close to my deadline. I need to know how to do this. And God just gives me a little answer. I'm like, oh, I wish I would have known that before. But he's like, if you knew that before, we would have missed this process. Amen. Okay, I trust you. Amen. All right? We just need to ask. We do need to ask. Amen. We do need to keep putting those things before God. And when he answers, go back to those memories. Hallelujah. Go back to those memories. Go back to seeing what God's done. Go back to the ways. You might sit there and look at it. You might be like, God, you've never moved in this area of my life before. Psh, that's fine. I moved in that area, there, everywhere else. You want to see your faith grow in this area? Yeah. Okay. Then we got to put some doubt in there. Oh, no. Okay. Just trust me through this because I got you. Right? And he's going to help us through it. So on the way out today, I want to ask a favor. All right, some of you guys saw this on the way in. There's a little section of our wall that's right over here on the way over to the information desk. It's kind of our thankful wall, right? So I put four things out in there. Actually, three of them are in the notes. One of them is just, if you can't think of anything else, write something that you're grateful for that God's done in your life, okay? But I put down three questions down at the bottom. It says this. It says, where do you experience God? Where does God move in your life? What is one prayer that God has answered in your past? And how has God moved? And what do you need to hear God whisper to you about? What do you need from God today? Right? This is about looking back, looking at your memories, looking at who God is, and remembering that he was God yesterday, he's God today, and he's God forever. Amen. When your faith is running low, look back. Amen. Instead of looking forward, look back. Amen. And see what God has done.
That's right.
See his love for you.
That's right.
And move in it. Amen. And remember your story, the story of your faith, because it will help you when your faith is running low at that current time. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up at this time. So let this message, if nothing else, be a reminder to your faith.
Amen.
Not just speaking to physical people here. I want you to do me a favor. Can you close your eyes? And let me just speak to your faith. Close your eyes for a second. Lord, remind each person here. Remind them of their faith. Remind them of what you've done. Remind them of who you are.
Amen.
Remind them that you are a faithful God who has gotten them through so much, and you're not just leaving them out to dry now. And I pray right now that you would feel the Holy Spirit breathe new life into that faith. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. We thank you that you have never left us alone, even when we may have felt like it. And we thank you, Lord, that your love for us is greater than we could ever deserve. But that we still receive it. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to have...